At the core of your books is living wealthy with little money. Mm-hmm. Forgive me, but isn't that a little bit of a contradiction of terms?
It all depends on what your definition of wealth is. It's personal. I have seen a lot of people, and you probably know people as well, that make a lot more money than you do or I do. But yet Monday morning comes around, they're hitting that snooze button 10 times because they do not want to get up and they dread going to work. And it's some of these same people that it gets to be the weekend and they say, I work so hard, I deserve blank. New clothes, nicer car, bigger house, fancier dinner, whatever. They're basing their sense of happiness and wealth on materialistic items. And if you do that, you're in a constant cycle of having to buy things to give you a false sense of happiness. And that's where wealth, like I said, it depends on your own definition of it. But for me, if you make $1 million a year, but you hate Monday 9 through 5, and you feel like you're wasting your life away during those hours, I don't define that as being a wealthy person. But you have to define what's right for you and your family.
Not to give away the entire premise of one or all your books, mm-hmm. but are there two or three things today that you could tell us that really make a difference in obtaining the goal of living wealthy on not much in the way of money?
Right, absolutely. First and foremost, you have to have a plan. Money is very similar to going on a road trip. If I'm taking a trip from Atlanta to California, I'm going to consult a map to see how to get there. Same thing holds true with money. If you want to retire one day, if you want to have an emergency fund, certain things, you have to set those goals for yourself so you know what you're working towards. A goal in place, it can help you say, you know what, guys, I can't do happy hour tonight. I'm saving money for this. So having a plan, that to me is number one. And number two is know where your money is going. That to me is probably the number one key to financial success. I have talked to so many people and they'll ask me for financial advice and say, Danny, I wish I had enough money to save for retirement, or I wish I had an emergency fund, whatever. I just don't make enough money. Yet they have the iPhone 5. Mm. They have a new Coach bag. They have the nicest car, whatever. And I'll say, well, you do have money. You're just choosing to spend it in this way. So what anyone can do right now, walk around 1 month with a piece of paper and a pencil, and anything you buy, write it down. You're not going to like this. It's not easy to do. But then at the end of the month, you're able to analyze your personal spending habits. Then you can analyze and say, oh my gosh, we went to the movies 3 times this month, or we ate dinner out 5 times, whatever it may be. Most of us in our lives, we have areas that we overspend in, but we just don't realize it. Just to show you how fast a little amount can add up. Let's just say during the work week, Monday through Friday, you eat lunch out every day. We're going to say cheap, fast food. We'll say $5 a pop. Now, most of us, we're probably not even going to think twice about spending $5. But when you add that up, $5 a day during the work week is $25 a week, $1,300 a year. Now, for most of us, $1,300 can go a long way. So if you don't track it, though, it's very easy to overlook those $5 that you spend. There are basically two ways to make more money. You either A, have to get a higher paying job, or B, you cut back what you're spending money on. And let's face it, it's a little more difficult for most of us to get a higher paying job right now than it was 7 or 8 years
sure.
ago. So that leaves us with choice B, which anyone can do. Analyzing your personal spending plan and then taking some things out that you truly don't need.
You mentioned a moment ago having that iPhone 5. These days, it's nothing more than peer pressure, really. We all feel like we need that latest gadget.
Mm-hmm. It's so cliche, but keeping up with the Joneses, that is what's gotten so many people in trouble. And that's kind of where Tracy and I, where I think we do have a healthy relationship with money, because we do what's right for our family. I don't do what's right for the guy across the street. I don't do what's right for the guy down the road. I do what I feel is right for our family. And like I mentioned, some families, it's better to have kids in daycare and to take better vacations and have nicer things. You just have to do what's right for you and your family. Don't worry about anyone else.
As we begin to wrap up, if you could communicate just one idea to us about money matters, what would that one thing be?
Spend less than you earn. And I know it's so easy to just say that because then life happens, but that's basically the bottom line. If you prepare for those emergencies, when you do that, then as you make more money in life, if you keep spending less, over time, you're going to be able to accumulate a decent nest egg when you retire eventually. I know it sounds so simple.
And we've been hearing it for generations. It's nothing new, but somehow we seem to have thrown it out the window.
Prepare for the unexpected, because the economy, it goes in cycles. We're on an uptick now, and it's going to get better. Mm-hmm. But you know what? I don't know when it's going to happen, but it's going to go down again. A lot of people say, gosh, I just didn't see that coming. If you drive a car long enough, it's going to break down. Some repair is going to be needed on your house.
Shouldn't be a surprise.
Right. People, that it gets to be Christmas and they don't have any money for Christmas presents. It comes every December 25th. Every year it's on the calendar. It comes.
Right.
But people
right.
just, we're not prepared for it. And I think that's it. It's just very simple. Always spend less than you earn.